Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemiras HaLashon class learning. We're actually just a week away from Hanukkah, so very meaningful time. We should be zochah to bring the light into our homes and into our land and into our nation. Let us begin to tefillah al hadibur, please. Ribono shel olam, yehi ratzon lefanecha al rachem v'chanan shetezakeni hayim u'chol yom. Shmar piyu l'shoni milashon hara v'chilos. Zahar miladaber afilu al ish yachid v'kol shekein al klal yisrael. O achelek mehem v'kol shekein mil yisrael al mitosef shel kol sh baruch hu. Azaham with the Dabber Divre Shaker, Hanufa, Machokas, Ka, Askaiva, Ona, Stvarm, Albanas Panim, Platonus, Vichal, Dibur, Asser, Vizakini, Shalo, the Dabber, Kim, Dabber, Hatsarich, in Yane, Goofy, Vinafshi, Vuka, Masai, Vidibra, the Shem, Shemaim, Amen. We are learning the Lunishmas, Svi, Gershom, and Yovachana, Lava Sham, as the Shamashav and Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah. And we also just continue to refu and besor stovas for bracha v'gayel bas bracha geta. So we are on page. Oops, one second. 116. So just as an introduction, you asked me how the trip went to California. So not this past Shabbos, but last Shabbos I was in LA, California. Actually, not. LA, just LA briefly, for a girls' high school Shabbaton, the Mueller Girls' High School Shabbaton in Ojai, California. I don't remember how you pronounce it. But when I woke up Thursday morning, I was flying out Thursday afternoon in the snowstorm. I got out, which was a nace.
I was thinking of you in the snowstorm if you made it.
They sat us on the plane for 3 hours. They boarded us very machbit to board us on time. Anyone who looked out the window knew we were not taking off on time. We were sitting on the plane for 3 hours in the snowstorm. Whatever. What a trip. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, we got out. But I woke up Thursday morning and I didn't have a voice. And this trip was booked 1 year ago. That was 1 year ago. And I said, Hashem, I'm going there to speak, and I don't have a voice. And what does that have to do with our class? It really gave whole new meaning to Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufiyagi Tasecha. Generally, when we say that pasuk, or at least I think about it, Hashem should give me the right words to say. Before we get the right words to say, we need Hashem to just make our voices work. Just Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, like I should open my mouth and just be able to speak, which really leads to the idea and the ha'ara and the musar, really the musar, that our voices are not even ours. It doesn't even belong to me. It's not mine. Hashem gives and takes at his ratzon. So it's not even mine. So how do I have the right to abuse something that's not even mine? If someone gives us something for safekeeping, for safeguarding, and they ask you to be a shomer, and you're a shomer, and it's very generous, and they say you can utilize this gift, but just keep in mind it's mine. And one day, at my best, you're going to have to give it back to me. What right do I have to even abuse what's not even mine in the first place? Such a rude awakening realization. My profession is that I'm a speaker. You know, I was literally crying on the plane, like not like saying I'm crying. So I was typing on my phone to the girl next to me, very nice young woman. I explained to her I'm a speaker and I have no voice and I can't talk, I'm going to talk, whatever. I was literally crying. But it was just such a realization that Kolach HaDibur is not ours. And how can we abuse something that doesn't belong to me in the field? It's not mine to abuse. After someone gives you something and says you're a shomer, you have to take care of it very carefully. And it reminded me of something that Rav Soloveitchik says. It's actually in regard to Akedas Yitzchak. But these sentences are so powerful. The basic idea of the Akedah, Akedas Yitzchak, which literally means the binding of Yitzchak, is nurtured by the service awareness. Man is a servant of God. He belongs completely to God, body and soul. God owns human existence at every level, physical, spiritual, and social. I'm going to repeat this. The basic idea of the Akedah is nurtured by the service awareness. Man is a servant of God. Man belongs completely to God, body and soul. God owns human existence at every level, physical, spiritual, and social. Every movement of our muscles is related to God. Every thought that flashes through our mind belongs to Him. Every feeling, stirring of the soul, joyful anticipation, or sad expectation is not the property of man. Hashem is the Adon Ha'olam, Hashem is the Lord of the world and the master of man. From time to time, he calls upon man to return to him, whatever is his. He demands man give not a part, but the entirety of himself. Man must return divine property to its rightful owner. He's talking about specifically about the Akedah. It's a very powerful piece. And he says, the supreme sacrifice is never too much. Talking about Akedah Yitzchak. Since God owns everything, a man possesses nothing. But these words are so impactful and such a... When do we really appreciate something? When we don't, Rahman al-San, have it anymore. Every movement of our muscle is related to God. Every thought that flashes through our minds belongs to Him. Every feeling, every stirring of the soul, every joyful anticipation or sad expectation is not the property of man. Hashem is the Adon Ha'olam and the master of the world. Man is a servant of God. We belong completely to Him, body and soul. And it really made me realize that this Koach HaDibur, which does not even belong to us, it's not even mine, it's Hashem's, and He granted it to me. What right do I have to abuse something which I don't even own in the first place? So it truly gives new meaning to the pasuk. It's a kapitel of Tehillim, kapitel in the of David HaMelech, says, Hashem sefasai tiftach, ufi yigit hilsecha. What do we really say? Hashem sefasai tiftach, because Hashem opens my mouth, gives me koach adibra. Think of everything that happens for you have to speak. Your lips have to open and close at the right for all vowels, right? M is different than N, think M, N, B is different than O, I'm not trying to make a joke, I'm being serious. And your teeth need to work, they need to coordinate with your tongue, your palate needs to be in the right place, your larynx needs to give you voice, you need to have air that comes up. Think of what goes into this. Only Hashem could create something so complex. So what is perhaps, what are we learning? Hashem sefasai tiftach. Because Hashem opens my mouth, ufi yagit hilsach, it is incumbent upon me to ensure that my lips speak His praise. You understand this? That's totally different than how we usually understand it. Hashem sefasai tiftach. Because Hashem is Adon Hakol, and He opens my lips and my mouth. The only option that I should see is to speak the praise of Hashem. It's not mine. It's Hashem's.
Did He give it back?
Oh, so I said, I was crying. I was almost crying. Like, no, I'm not like, could you imagine? It was booked 1 year ago. I said, Hashem, it was booked a year ago. What? I don't understand. I'm going to be mechazik these girls. I was speaking four times over Shabbos. What Hashem? I said, I don't have my voice. There's a snowstorm. The flight is delayed. Oh, there were fires. My kids were very nervous. My kids were like, Mommy, how could you go there? The first camp location was supposed to be Malibu. It was changed. The camp in Malibu was destroyed. My kids didn't want me to go. Then I didn't have voice. Then it was a snowstorm. I said, what is the Satan doing? I'm trying. I said, Hashem, really? I'm going to mechazik these girls. Please. I didn't talk Thursday. Barely talked. I sucked more of a cola than I ever want to see again in my life. I drank. I went to keep it hydrated. And I davened. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Friday morning, I woke up with some voice. Chasda Hashem Olam Mashiach. But it was really such a ha'ara, such a powerful lesson. Because Hashem Sevasa Yitivtach, He gives me the speech. He opens up. He makes everything work. What a nace. Fiyaget Hosecha. What right do I have to speak anything other than the praise of Ribbono Shel Olam? Okay, big Musar. Page, I'm talking to myself. Page 116. Okay, any questions or comments? Polkade Avo. Oh, sorry, no. V'im Kain. Sorry, I was quoting the pasuk that I'm going to quote momentarily. V'im Kain. Okay, what he said last time, if we remember, if not, I'll just remind us all, is that interestingly, we usually talk about, you read the Sadoros, so we usually say we are worse than the previous generations. Interestingly, the Chafetz Chaim says that the previous generations, every generation speaks Lashon Hara, so we need to try and be better than the previous generations who spoke Lashon Hara, which is a different way of, we would never say such a thing, but the Chafetz Chaim says such a thing. But what he ended was by quoting the Gemara, and the Gemara says that in the Maseches Bava Basra, Ruben Begezel, majority of sins, I'm just on the last words of page 114, majority of sins are tainted with theft, umi'utin ba'arayos, and a few sins are tainted by arayos, inappropriate relations, v'kulam b'lashon har. So it's really not the Chafetz Chaim thing, previous generations sinned with Lashon Hara. It's really the Gemara saying everybody sins with Lashon Hara. So his point is we need to try and be better. Now, new material, v'im kein. Kishabala mala, when he comes above, meaning Amei Vesrim Shana, Chashpan Avonosav Shal Adam, they're going to make a Chashpan of the sins of man. I try and think about this very often for myself. It's possible you've heard me mention in Shirim before, whether live or online. I really try, it really helps me, my personal Vod Hashem. I'm telling this to you as an Itza, maybe it could help you. I really think to myself, what are they going to say after? 120, when they play this back, what are they going to say? Kishabala mala, like for example, last week I wanted to, I needed something, it was in the basement, I went out, it was all the way downstairs, I came all the way upstairs, it was 7:10 in the morning. Oh, I met my daughter upstairs, I said, it's in the basement what I need. She said, do you want me to get it for you? I said, I really do want you to get it for me, but what are they going to say about me after 120? I quoted, I said, we have to learn from the ant, we have to learn from the ants, because the ants, the ants are not lazy. The ants have tremendous, you know what I'm talking about? It's in Mishlei? It's Mishlei. The ants have tremendous users. So I said, I really do want you to get it for me, but what are they going to say about me after I have to conquer the meat of laziness and I have to go get it for myself? And it's something that's very helpful. So, Kishabalamala, Chashman of Anasav Shaladam, when you go up, the Chashman of the sins of man, Umitzarfin Lazer, Chashman Avon Avosav, Arbadoros. Well, what's going to happen, specifically in regard to Lashon Hara? They're going to count your sins, and then what's going to be added to that? Sins of the past four generations. So what are you going to find? It's not only you're not only accountable for your sins. Oh, why? It's actually why. What does Hashem say in the Yugam and Midas Harachamim? Hokein avon avos albanim al shlishem v'al rabim. I just reviewed it last night with my daughter, and actually in Parsha Shlach, she was a chumash test today. She was in a chedim raglim. Moshe invokes Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim after chedim raglim. Pokeid. He takes an accounting. Avon, avos albanim, the sins of fathers for their sons, al shlishem v'al ribim, for three and four generations. So, you're going to get up there, and Ar Arbadoros, that's what Chavetz Chaim is referring to, you're going to have sins counted. Not only your Lashon Hara, could you imagine if I'm responsible? That's mamash a terrifying thought. It's not only responsible for myself, but I'm responsible four generations back. It is known that every sin, from every sin, one prosecutor is created. And the Olam HaEmes, how am I going to be able to stand opposite them? Aval, that's only when you stay in the ways of the previous generation, specifically in this regard vis-a-vis Lashon Hara. I find this an interesting concept because it's so not what we always think about the previous generations. It's a little bit hard to grasp this idea, but again, it's based on the Gemara that all sins are tainted by Lashon Hara. Aval kishahaben mischazek. It's only if you go in the ways of the previous generations, when the son strengthens himself. You take resolve and you are mechazik yourself and you learn about it and you take Kabbalah and you try to the best of your ability. You will not transgress those transgressions that the forefathers transgressed. So then what happens? You change the situation for yourself. The sins of the previous four generations are not counted against you. So it's true that you will be held accountable for three and four Doros, but that's only if you go in the ways, i.e., if you accumulate more and more Lashon Hara. If you cease and you desist from speaking Lashon Hara, will not be counted upon you. V'imkein, and therefore, Misha Mekaba Alav Chovas Hashmir, one who accepts upon himself the obligation to guard his speech, V'shomer as Atzmo. You have to be, it's so funny because I just used the word Shomer when talking about just Koach HaDibur. I said, Hashem, we are the Shomer. You have a shomer. What does it mean that a person has to be a shomer? You're always on guard. When you see a shomer, you know, a watch guard or a bodyguard in front of an institution or shemirachim aleinu in front of a school or in front of a certain place, and the shomer's sleeping or the shomer's playing on his phone, and the shomer, so you realize that that shomer's not very alert. It's so easy, chalila, to mount an attack against a shomer who's asleep on the job. It's not really being a shomer. So that has true ramifications and a nimshal in the spiritual realm. And we have to be shomer al atzmo. So a shomer can't be asleep on the job. You have to always be on guard. Because the minute the shomer goes to sleep, the Yetzer Hara, what happens? Mounts his attack. He sees how easy it is. If you're not being shomer upon yourself, it's so easy to just move right in. You know, just like the, you think of the, bodyguard, what's the word I'm looking for? Security guard. The security guard who's sleeping, the security guard who's on his phone. So Chas v'shalom. It's easy to mount an attack. So too, that's us. If we're asleep, then we're not guarding ourselves. You have to be real shomer. Shalola avar alein, that you should not transgress. Naki mikol eila. So then you're clean. So you don't have to be terrified that when you get up to the Olma Emes, oh my gosh, I'm responsible for myself and for my father and for my grandfather and my great-grandfather. Every usher word that ever came out of a person's mouth for four generations. But if we are a shomer, an awake shomer, an alert shomer, who's always watching for the enemy, makim kol eila. Ubivadai, now he says something beautiful, and certainly, one second, last sip. Bischuso, this is beautiful. Biemchal kalish barchula avos of gam kain. Why did he just say, not only do you amass merit for yourself, but in the schus of you being a shomer and watching your own mouth, you're not held accountable for the past four generations, but certainly in that merit, Hashem will forgive your forefathers as well. Beautiful. So this brought up something very interesting, made me think of a related point. Generally, we think of our forefathers. They went up on Mev Asim Shana, and they were judged, and Be'ezras Hashem, they're in Gan Eden, and they have their reward. The Chafetz Chaim is bringing up a very interesting point. In your merit of changing the pattern of Lashon Hara that has gone down to the Doros, Hashem will forgive the sins of your forefathers as well. So how do we even understand this? So this reminds me of something Rabbi Soloveitchik teaches, actually. I'm quoting from Machzor Masoras HaRav for Rosh Hashanah. And the holiest part, one of the holiest parts of Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, actually. In the liturgy, we read Uli Nesana Tokef prayer. Okay? And we know that by the Nesana Tokef, Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, Uvi Yom Tzom Kippur Yechasemun, Hashanah will be written, and Yom Tzom Kippur, it will be sealed, Kamei Yavun, Kamei Berun. One second. Furthermore, it says in the beginning, okay, without reading the whole thing, Ames kiato udayin machiach ve'odeh ve'ed ve'koseiv ve'choseim ve'sofer emona ve'sizkar kol hanish kachos, Hashem remembers all the forgotten, ve'siftach es sefer hazichronos. He opens up the book of Zichronos, it reads by itself, every man's hand is there. We also know furthermore that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, Sefer HaChaim, and Rosh Hashanah specifically, Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer Mavis Psuch in the Fanav. So you have this idea that the Sefer Zichronos is open, that on Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, because the Sefer Zichronos is open, on Rosh Hashanah will be written. Which Sefer is open? So the Gemara says, Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer Mavis Psuch in the Fanav. So the Pasha Pshat is, everybody Be'ezras Hashem davens to be inscribed in the Sefer HaChaim. So Avicha gives a very different interpretation. On Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, because the Sefer Zichronos are Psuchim Nefanav, the Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer Mavas. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, okay, Laman Beis Amad Beis, indicates on Rosh Hashanah the Book of the Living and the Book of the Dead are open before God. The simple interpretation of this idea is that on this day Hashem judges who will live and who will die. Those who will live out the year inscribed, Be'ezras Hashem, in the Book of Living, those who are not are inscribed in the Book of Dead, Rechmana Litzlan. Now he gives a different pshat. However, there is another possible interpretation, relates exactly to what the Chafetz Chaim just said. These books represent judgment for both the living and the dead. Listen carefully. All of mankind, including those who are alive and those who have already passed on, are judged on this day. Rav Soloveitchik says that every neshama is judged on this day, whether they're in Olam HaZeh or in Olam Haba. The Book of Living, when we say Sefer Chaim Psuchim Lefanav, represents those who are alive in Olam HaZeh. And the Book of the Dead, i.e. Sefer HaMaves, represents a recurring verdict pronounced upon those who have already died. So how could we say that he who has ascended to the Olam HaEmes is judged every year? The reason for continuing judgment of those who are no longer alive is, ready? It's exactly to what the Chafetz Chaim just taught us. The consequences of a person's sins cannot always be immediately determined. For example, one may have raised a child without a proper education. As a result, the child will later turn his back on Judaism. This is like worst case scenario, but put in any aveira, let's say, which will in turn result in the assimilation of his children and grandchildren. Chas v'sham. So in other words, who's responsible for that? So Rav Soloveitchik is saying that the Sefer HaMavas represents those who have ascended. Similarly, if a parent provided his child with a good religious education, both minor deviations, the consequences may not be evident for generations. And so even though the parent has died, he is rejudged every Rosh Hashanah for the accumulating consequences of the negligence in his child's upbringing. It's not like he had to pay once. He was to pay over the generations. Al Shlishim v'al Ribim. The dead are judged on Rosh Hashanah every year for actions whose consequences were not realized until that very year. It's very frightening, Mr. Haskell, for us. Talk about what they're going to say on May of Esrim Shana. It's not just one time and then it's over. That means that if I make grave errors, Rahman Islam, may the Almighty save us from such a thing. And the consequences of that are devastating. That's a problem every Rosh Hashanah. But the flip side is the Chafetz Chaim just told us something beautiful. If we correct the misdeed, specifically in this case, vis-a-vis Lashon Hara, now perhaps we could understand. U'bivadai b'schuso yimchal kolosh baruch hu la'avosav gam kein. So the Chafetz Chaim also teaches this idea. When he says that our forefathers, he means in the Olam Ha'emes, need mechila, what is he saying? On the day of mechila, they need mechila, because if we continue with their sins, they're still accountable. But if we change their sins, and we change our ways, then there's mechila, not only for us, but also for them. Unbelievable. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bira Mizak Abba. Bira is the Aramaic word for son. That's why we say Bar Mitzvah, by the way. Okay? Bar is a Aramaic for son. A son is Mizak, a father. So you see this concept, which is perhaps something very new for us, that we're learning. And you know, that's why it's so significant when we say that we're learning for an Aliyah Neshama. When somebody holds back Lashon Hara for an Aliyah Neshama, when somebody gives tzedakah for the Neshama, it's not just words. It's not just an empty concept. We see that it is the goings on down here of the descendants of the Nifter that truly impact the Nifter's place in the Olam HaEmes. Both Chalila L'Ra, God forbid, if a person goes in corrupt ways, then Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMem's P'such in the front of Ba, Lahafech L'Tova. Every time we do something positive for the Nifter, whether it's a shir, and whether it's a mitzvah, and whether it's tzedakah, and whether it's sponsoring a day of learning in a yeshiva, whatever it is, it has real impact in the Olam HaEmes. Something that we believe, and it's something that we know, it's something we're learning with further reiteration. Bara Mizaka Abba. Ubishvil Pratze Bilvad, and even for this point alone, Ra'ui Gamkein Adam is Chazek. If for no other reason, forget Hashem Sefas Haytiv Zachviya Gita Zacha. Forget what it says about your morality if you speak Lashon Hara always about a person. Forget about the other person's feelings. Forget about everything except this Nakuda. If for no other reason alone, you should be Mechazek yourself and others in this Inyan because Bara Mizak Abba. For no other reason. You held back one time, it's not only a schuss for you. It's a schuss up there. Ra'oi gam kein adam l'ischazek, shalo lihilachid b'koach hadibur. You should not become trapped. You should not become ensnared in the koach hadibur. You don't care about anything else, the Chafetz Chaim is saying. You care about nothing else. Think of those who have ascended to the Olam HaEmes. Think of the tremendous schuss you bring them. Through upholding and shmira from being the guard. Very, very powerful. With Alimach, questions or comments? We're at food for thought. Okay, with Alimach Biederman, does anyone have questions or comments? A little, you look like, no?
No.
Okay, Rav Alimach Biederman says, oh, what is greater, giving up one's life for Hashem or to suffer a drop of discomfort to bring honor to Him? Most people will say sacrificing one's life for Hashem is greater. We see actually people find it easier to sacrifice their lives than to do small sacrifices. The Mesillas Yesharim describes people, how people who love Hashem look forward to difficult tests. With difficult obstacles, when they come before them, they need immense strength to remove them. Their hearts are strong and happy. They can show they sincerely believe in Hashem. It can be compared to a powerful general. He prefers the most difficult battles because he can show off his strength when he wins those battles. The small battles, leave it for somebody else. I'm not interested in the small battles. When people love one another, they're happy to show how far the extent of their love goes. So very often, it's the big things in life that we feel make us important. It's the big things in life that we feel show our prowess. The small things, of course, anyone could do the small things. Similarly, those who love Hashem are happy. They can show they're ready to sacrifice for Hashem's sake. Challenges, trials, tribulations, they dedicate their love to Hashem. Really, they should make a kal v'chomer. And we should say, if I'm ready to die for Hashem's sake, And all that's required for me is a drop of discipline. I should be able to pass this test. For example, someone who has free time. He's not working. He could learn for an hour. He's not in the mood. All he has to do is overcome his laziness and study Torah. Behold, he's ready to give up his life for Hashem's honor. He would give up his money. All that's required for him is a little bit of Torah study. If that's such a great sacrifice, why is it so difficult? Rabbi Biderman is saying, he's going to specifically relate to Lashon Hara in a minute. But what he's saying is that sometimes the big things are ready to be moser nefesh. When it comes to the small things in life, we see that as more daunting. Similarly, if someone is tempted to say something prohibited, it shouldn't be so hard to refrain. They're not asking you to give up your life. Surprisingly, very often, the same people who are appeared to be moser nefesh find it hard to complete, to stick with relatively simple deeds. They'll gladly give their money to Hashem if that's Hashem will. They have trouble waking up for Shacharis. They have trouble refraining from speaking Lashon Hara and so on. Rabbi Biderman is saying, he's putting Lashon Hara in the category of a small thing. If we're ready to give up our life, and we're ready to give up our money, and we're ready to open our homes to Aruch, and we're ready to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of Knesset Yisrael, ready to be moser nefesh for Eretz Yisrael, so why when it comes to the small things? He gives two examples here. Waking up for Shacharis, refraining, speaking Lashon Hara. Why is it so hard for us? The reason is they want to do great deeds. We want to show love and devotion with Mesiras Nefesh. Forget the mediocre. And he says a hint to this concept is Lachacha. Lachacha is of one of our Avram Avinu's 10 tests. Go for yourself from your land, your birthplace, the land that I will show you, while being thrown into a costume, according to some opinions, isn't one of his 10 tests. Now, according to the Bartanur on the Mishnah, by the way, I believe it's Perakei Mishnah Gimel and Perakei Avos, the Bartanur counts Kivshan Ha'ish as one of the 10 tests. But Rabbi Biderman's pshat still works because it's fascinating that Kivshan Ha'ish is not in the Torah text. It's at the end of Rashi to Perikot Alf. I believe it's Rashi to Perikot Alf, Pasuk Chav Ches and Bereshis, where Rashi brings down the Chazal that Avram was thrown into Kivshan Ha'ish. But if it was so monumental, what do you think the Torah would put that first? What's greater, being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'ish, giving up your life for God, dying on Mesiras Nefesh, the Akedah is a cornerstone of Judaism, or traveling to a new land? How hard is it to travel to a new land? You pack your bag and you go to a new place. It's not your life. But whether you don't count it as one of his tests, like Rabbi Biderman says some opinions, or you do count it, it's not in the Torah. How could it not be in the Torah? Isn't it greater than Lechcha? Apparently not. He says this concept, Kol Mashi'ir La'avo Simon Lebanim, not vis-a-vis Avram Avinu, but what it teaches us. Vis-a-vis Avram Avinu is ready to do everything for Hashem. And vis-a-vis us, it teaches us that sometimes it is easier for a person to conquer the big challenges in life. You recognize it's a nisayon, you're ready to roll, but with the small things, he gives two examples, waking up for davening or making time for tefillah. We could say we don't go to shacharis in the mornings, but still making time for tefillah. Sometimes it's a real battle. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. By the time you send up the kids, you prepare the breakfast and check your phone, I'm putting a load of laundry, it's time to leave. Where's tefillah? How could it be so hard? I don't have to die. I don't have to go into the fire. I just have to daven. How could it be so hard to refrain? These are the two examples that he gives. Waking up for Shacharis and not speaking Lashon Hara. It isn't even mentioned in the Torah, says Rabbi Biderman, going back to Kivshan Ha'ish. This is because great sacrifices are often easier than milder. Lachacha was a great test. It may have been Avram's 10 Nisyonos. He had to subvert his temptations, sacrifice his will for Hashem's will. Even though he couldn't say he did such a great deed. It wasn't such a man's sacrifice. You could go to a new land. It was difficult, but you could go to a new land. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar to remind Hashem of the Akedah. We began by discussing the Akedah. Rav Yitzchak Hutner Zatzal, Pachad Yitzchak asks, the Ma'achalas, if you look in Paruch of Beis, the story of the Akedah, the narrative of the Akedah, I shouldn't say story, the Torah doesn't tell stories. The narrative of the Akedah, the knife that's used is called a Ma'achalas. So many different reasons are given. Rav Lau says in his Yachal Yisrael commentary to Pirk Avos, Rav Lau Shlita, he says, the Ma'achalas continues to feed us, Zechusim, through the generations. Okay, this Yitzchak Hayom Berachmim Tizkor, it's a Ma'achalas, it feeds every generation of Jews. Yitzchak Kotner says the Ma'achal is the knife, it's part of the Akedah. So how come Rosh Hashanah, this is such a beautiful var, Pachar Yitzchak, Hashem commands us to take a shofar, the ram. Why didn't he command us to take a Ma'achalas? Take a knife, include it in your meal, include it somehow in your service. Why is the mitzvah specifically shofar? The Ma'achalas was also part of the Akedah. He answers. And in fact, you could say, relating to Rabbi Biderman already, he said the Ma'achalas represents a greater part of the Nisayin than the shofar itself. The Ma'achalas was the knife that he was going to use to what? Kill his own son. The ram, it's external to him. He didn't have feelings for the ram. He didn't have his whole life invested in the ram. His whole future wasn't involved with the ram. It's an animal. So if I should take anything to remind me of the Akedah, to remind Hashem, I should say, Kaviyachal, of the Akedah, what should I take?
The knife.
The knife, says Rav Huttner. Says Rav Huttner, many people are prepared to do great deeds. They're prepared to be slaughtered. They want to show immense love to Hashem. The knife demonstrates a Yid's readiness to be Moser Nefesh. But, says Rav Biederman, quote, it isn't all that significant. We take a shofar. Why? The ram was caught in the Sfach. V'hinei ayel acher ne'achaz b'svach b'karnav. That's the lashon of the pasuk. V'hinei ayel acher ne'achaz b'svach b'karnav. He's caught in the thicket. He's caught in the bushes with his horns. Svach, says Rav Biederman, where he's caught in the thicket, is from sivuchim, confusion, problems. The ayel is caught. Where is he caught? In the confusion of life, in the small things in life, in the branches and the thistles. The trick is to serve Hashem even from those. Passing the relatively speaking milder tests is even greater sometimes, Mesiras Nefesh, than the greatest sacrifice. As people find the regular test, again, it gives two examples which are both so applicable to us. It's such short days. Before you turn around, sign Tav Mincha. Sometimes you're out in the afternoon, sometimes you're busy and you've done the laundry and you come home from work, or maybe even haven't come home from work yet. And you're preparing supper, and now it's Shkia. And wait a minute, how could it be Shkia? Two examples he gives, which should speak to us so strongly. One is, now there are many examples of small things. His specific two examples are making time for Hashem and davening, and number two, Lashon Hara. And sometimes we are caught besvach bekarnav. We are just so confused in the thicket that those small tests are even greater. Passing those small tests are actually greater than the big tests. Unbelievable. Okay, let's do a little bit more inside, okay? A little bit more. V'hinei b'inyanei ha'olam. Wait, any questions or comments? Okay, everything's clear? V'hinei b'inyanei ha'olam anu roim. In the madness of the world, we see she'kal davar she'esh mimenu midir meruba. This is very beautiful. Eino yakar kokach. This relates a little bit to what Rabbi Biederman said also. We see in the way of the world that anything is very plentiful, mimenu mida miruba, when there's so much of it, einenu yakar kol kach, it's true. It's not so precious. If you could get so much of it, then it's not so precious. There's so much plenty. V'kol sheyesh mimenu me'at b'mitzius, and the mitzius is when there's only a little bit of something. He's going to give an example now when it comes to metals and gems. Okay? It becomes more precious in the eyes of Brios. The more rare something is, the more precious it is. The more common something is, the less precious it is. Kigon, he gives an example. Nechoshas, he yakar mi barzal. Excuse me. Copper is more precious than iron. The kesef, hu yakar mi nechoshas. And silver is more precious than both copper and barzel. But something's even more precious than silver. Vizahav, gold. Sheyesh ma'am ba'olam, hu yakar yoser mi kesef. And you could add onto this platinum. We went to Newport, Rhode Island. Has anybody been in the summer to Newport, Rhode Island? If you haven't been, I really highly recommend it. We were there for 3 days. It was just fantastic. We were busy the whole 3 days. We went to the mansions. We went to two of the mansions. It's not describable. People told me go to the mansions. I can't even describe in words what it means. One of the rooms in the mansions is lined, the walls, with platinum. And when they started to make these into historic sites, they couldn't figure out why the walls were tarnishing. They thought it was silver. And silver tarnishes. And they realized they came in and they did tests. They brought special machines. I can't describe. If you haven't seen it, there's I'm talking about no words to describe. And they discovered that the walls were lined with platinum. I'm talking about homes that were built in the late 1800s. We have to understand what this means. It's hard to understand what this means. But the point is that what is more rare is more precious. Va'avanim tovos, ha-me'iros, and precious gems that give light. She'ain, and there is sparkle, me'ir, light. Okay, avanim tovos, ha-me'iros. She'ain mitsuyos klal, that are very hard to find. Shavin no ra me'od. They're even, hello? More precious. Why? Because it's not so easy to find black diamonds. It's hard to find black diamonds, so could you imagine a rare 10 karat, but there's a most famous diamond, the Hope Diamond, right? So why is it so precious? Because it's so rare. He's going to relate this to Koach HaDibur. The more common something is, the more people make a design of it. But the more rare it is, the more precious it is. So that's what he's going to say vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because people are not careful with Koach HaDibur. Never mind, we learned today that we don't only affect ourselves, but we affect those in Shemayim who came before us, which is very frightening. If you think of, like, if I think of, you know, I wasn't Zohar, my grandparents were Holocaust survivors, I barely knew them, they were older than, they had families before the Holocaust, but if I could somehow bring a schus to my grandparents every time they were Holocaust survivors, I don't know that they need my schus, but just to apply his lesson, if somehow, with your koach adibur, for yourself and being mechazik others, you could bring a schus, sefer chaim, sefer maus, psuchim lefanav, it's unbelievable. Why? Because something that is so common is a bizayon to people, and something that's rare, it's so precious to Hashem. When someone takes upon himself, chovas hashmir is going to say, it's so precious to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because people are so lax with it. People don't care. That's like mining the most precious diamond, lahav the alfei of dos, the most precious diamond that you could find in the world. So with this thought about diamonds, I'm just going to read a vignette for Henny Machas. Maybe I should save Henny till next time. I want to just finish with it. Can I just finish with this? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I read about diamonds being so precious, it reminded me of this from Henny. Allah Hashem. A certain rabbi loved Henny's Torah teachings. This is in Gray, so this is her actual words in the book. A certain rabbi loved every Jew very much. He once went to speak in the diamond district in Tel Aviv. The first question they asked him is, why do you usually hang out with low-class people? This is Henny's Torah teaching. So he said, when you find a diamond and it's dirty, do you throw it out? So they said, no, we don't throw it out. It's a diamond. We polish it. It's just dirty. So he said, I do the same. Every Jew is more precious than a diamond. There was a fellow, Henny goes on, who is playing. So what's the nimshal when it comes to koach adibur? It's the most precious thing. But what has happened is in our day and age, it has become so dirty. It's not even the content of speaking about other people. Sometimes it's just the way we talk, the words we use. The nivel peh, the lack of respect. I'm not saying any of us at the table, but I'm saying that's very prevalent in the world in which we live. Sometimes the acronyms that people use are not so appropriate. There's a not nice one for LOL. There's a different one that has a bad word in it. I don't know if anybody knows. If you don't, good. It's not only speaking about other people. Divrei Sheker, Chanufa, Mechokas, Kas, Gaiva, Lunas, Rem, Habanas, Panim, Leit, Sanas, Vechal, Dibra, Asur. So it's diamonds, Koach, Dibra, but it's become so dirty. Does that mean we should just throw it out? So Yitzhar says, don't work on it anyway. Everybody else talks like this, so you should talk like this too. Doesn't mean because something is so cheap in the eyes of people, it's really cheap in the eyes of Hashem. It's so precious, we have to clean it off. There was a fellow who was playing his violin in the subway. He had his violin case open for 45 minutes. Listen to this. He was playing. 1,092 people passed by. I don't know exactly how they know many people. It's not the point. 1,092 people passed by. 6 people stopped and listened for a while. He collected $32 in his case. Afterwards, it was revealed that this man playing the violin in the subway is Joshua Bell, one of the world's greatest violinists. He was using a violin worth $3.5 million. People just don't notice. They just didn't take the time to listen. We don't realize our mouths are worth so much more than $3.5 million. We began with the lesson that I learned in a very startling way when I was going to speak and I couldn't even talk. How much would you pay to be able to have koach adibur? Hashem gives it to us for free. What do we have to give him back? We're the shomer. Just take care of it. Just clean it off. So I want to say, really, everybody around this is like Joshua Bell. Everybody's important to Sani. Everyone is special. We have to work hard to love every Jew like ourselves, to see the uniqueness, the specialness. We're going to Blinay to talk about next time because it relates to something on the next page. We didn't get to this page, but just keep in mind that this week's parsha is Parsha's Vayeshev. And the first thing we know about Yosef and the brothers is Vayave Yosef di Basavra Alavim. It's the first thing we know. What does it stand from? We don't see the diamond in every Jew. We don't see the diamond. So we use our mouths. It's so cheapened. We think it's just like copper. We think it's even less. It's like wind. We don't know who anybody is. A Kosh Baruch who wants us to focus on the good, the uniqueness and specialness of each person. The third pasuk in Vayera speaks about Avram. And he says, the question is, who is he talking to? He says, Adonai imna matzasi chem be'enacha alna tavar me'al v'decha. Who's he speaking to? The Machokas, who's he talking to? Is he saying to the Malachim, stay here, don't pass by your servant? Or is he saying to? Targum Lunkah says he's talking to Hashem. Hashem, wait here. Rashi said, okay. So you see, even Avram Avinu spoke to his guest with such honor, it was difficult to discern whether he was speaking to his guest or to Hashem. beautiful insight into that pasuk. It's not just Pashat HaMachokas that Avram was speaking either to Hashem or to the guests. What's it actually teaching you? He spoke to his guest in such a beautiful way that you're not even sure if he's talking to the guest or if he's talking to who? Ribono Shel Olam. That is how carefully you must treat Koach HaDibur. Okay. The Kein Hu B'Inyanei Ruchnias. Eina, I just want to finish the sentence. Matsui klal adam sheyisakein kol kachalkei hadibur. It's, you can't find one person who observes all the parts of kol hadibur. V'im yimatzei adam sheyishma kol hadibur kadin. If you do find someone who guards kol hadibur like he's supposed to, mikol chalkei dibur adasur, he tries so hard for all the parts of forbidden speech. Mipnei shechafivim etzo. Mitzvos hasham shem misparach. He sees every aspect of kol hadibur, shmir sadibur, I should say, like a precious gem. And he saw the gem in every Jew. A diamond dealer sees what's hidden underneath the diamond. Doesn't take the diamond out of the ground and he says, oh wow, it's dirty, I'm going to throw it in the garbage. What does he say? I'm going to clean it off, I'm going to polish it, I'm going to cut it, I'm going to put in a ring, it's going to be stunning. Because he has the foresight to see that it's dirty by man. You take a show to a layman, the person says it's a rock, throw it in the garbage. A diamond dealer says it's beautiful. That's how we have to see people around us. If we see the people around us like that, we will not abuse our speech. Why? Because they're a diamond. And my speech is a diamond. Diamond, diamond. So beautiful. This is the person who will certainly find chen. We all say matzachen. You will find chen in the eyes of Hashem. Interestingly, I just brought up Yosef. This week's parasha. And that was a Potiphar. Yosef is a person of chen, a charm, however you want to translate chen. But what does Rashi say to Bereishis Lamed Tes Gimel 39:3? What does Potiphar see about Yosef? Shem Shemayim Shagur Befiv. What gives him his chen? Chalashar Hu Osehu Matzliach. Hashem Ito. Everything does is successful. Hashem is with him. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi specifically say about Yosef? Shem Shemayim Shagur Befiv. You can't tell if he's talking to Hashem or if he's talking to the guest. Just like, oh, it's beautiful. Oh, we should be here for another hour. Be a time. Yosef is... Oh, it's too complicated. No, it's not. Okay. Raga Achas. Yosef is known as Ivri. Haviyu lanu ish Ivri letzachek baru. The Saramashkim says, in jail, there is a Nar Aved Ivri. Yosef is identified as an Ivri. Who's the other biblical personality in Bereishis identified as an Ivri? Avram. Okay. From Perek Yodal, the war of the four kings and the five kings. Avram's the Ivri, Yosef's the Ivri. Avram speaks, V'shem Shemayim Shagur Befiv. You don't even know if he's talking to Hashem or the Malachim. That's how careful his speech is when he's talking to just a bas or a dam while they're a Malachim. But people, and Yosef is also the same koach. Why does he merit chayin? Because Shem Shemayim Shagur Befiv. A person like this, B'vadai Yim Tzachayim B'Einei Hashem Yisprach. V'yas Sechara Me Hashem Yisprach Gadol Me'od Me'od. And you should know how much schar he will get from Hashem, not only for himself, keep in mind, for who else? Previous generations. When you see every person is a diamond, even if it's in the rough, it's not polished. And you see your Koach HaDibur as the most precious gem, like the Hope Diamond. It's not even mine in the first place. What gives me right to abuse Koach HaDibur? It's not even mine. It's a diamond from the Ribono Shel Olam. And I just, interestingly, instead of doing a new halacha, this is planned. The past 2 weeks, Mishpacha has been, letters to Mishpacha have been addressing a topic that we've been discussing in the halacha lesson a day. The last two times, we spoke about revealing information in Shidduchim, and that we should not think we know better than the person themselves to trick them into finding, wanting, or being mishadich with something that they don't want. Because we saw what happens after, well, we didn't say, the Sefer says, very often after they find out that they were tricked, information was concealed, and they're very fresh. They're angry, and it could lead to major Shalom Bayis bombs. How could I not know this? So, letter in last week, Mishpacha. Okay, last week, the woman does not sign her name. Okay? I'm writing a response to Dr. Friedman's latest piece. Does anyone read Dr. Friedman? He's a therapist, I don't know if it's a psychiatrist or psychologist in Yerushalayim. I'm writing a response to Dr. Friedman's latest piece in his Off the Couch series. His series is called Off the Couch. Swear to end the Mishpacha. He describes his consultation with a girl going into Shidduchim who wishes to keep her controlled OCD a secret. Exactly what we've been talking about. As the wife of Dr. Friedman's favorite patient, she writes that about herself. She says, that's Dr. Freeman's words, not mine. I wanted to share my thoughts with you upon reading this article. My husband's condition was not shared with me before my marriage. And being told about it and learning to accept it was not easy at all. Reading this article, this woman who goes to Dr. Freeman who wants to keep her OCD a secret, reading this article brought mixed emotions in me. I can attest to the fact that being lied to hurts. Davar Shaker. And yes, by all means, it is worthwhile to try and prevent someone else from experiencing the same pain. In my situation, my husband's family consulted with a trusted authority who advised them not to tell me about his condition before the wedding. And I often think to myself, clearly it's understood why this letter is not signed. I often think to myself, what if? What if I had been told? Would I have gone ahead with the sheikh? I am 100% sure, she writes this, that I would not have. Why would a regular, normal girl with no issues from a good home take a boy with mental illness? My mom should have been speaking this. I couldn't believe it when I read it. Look what I did. I read on the plane to LA, actually. Look what I made a note. Shmira Salashon, asterisk, ripped it out. Today I know the answer to that question. Why would I agree? He's a boy with great midos, so humility comes along with him having suffered. But would I have been able to understand that on my own? I hate to admit the answer is no. What a shame it would have been. So in retrospect, she says she's happy now. Today I wouldn't give up my pekla for anything in the world, but my acceptance and appreciation came about in a very difficult way. She concludes, honesty is the best policy. This is from someone who's been in the smatzav. And she says herself, she admits, she doesn't sign her name, I would not have accepted the shirach. Being open and honest is the right thing to do. I would never advise anyone as someone in this situation to hide something just because for me it worked out in the end. Meaning I didn't get divorced, though in many situations it results in divorce. No one should ever decide on their own what to do because it's playing with fire. In my case, it brought me by Bashir. Interestingly, in this week's Mishpacha, there was a follow-up to her letter, and it's shorter. I am writing in response to last week's letter writer, who had come to terms with the fact that she was not told, he signs his name, by the way, this person this week is Avi Samuels. She came to terms with the fact that she was not told of her husband's mental condition. Their marriage has worked out anyway. Period. Wonderful. Period. But it must be stressed, this is not a touchy-feely issue. One can decide on one's own. I personally spoke to perhaps the preeminent posik in the U.S. regarding mental conditions. He emphasized, any medical condition must be shared after the third date. If one fails to share a medical or psychological history with a potential marriage partner, the marriage might be considered a mekach ta'us. Ta'us is a mistake. The only circumstances in which one may withhold information is when the medical establishment maintains the history will not impact the future of the individual whatsoever. Beyond that halachic aspect, withholding this kind of information is a gamble not worth taking, because when the truth ultimately emerges, the friction, pain, and feelings of betrayal are more than likely to undermine the couple's relationship. It is therefore imperative that such history must be shared. We're not giving any psak halacha here, but just to reiterate the lesson of the day that we've been discussing the past two classes, which is that when somebody knows of medical information, we must consult a very prominent and competent posik, not someone who's well-versed enough to paskin basar b'chal of shayas. I'm not taking that away. I have plenty of kitchen shayas in my own kitchen that I ask. But you need to make sure that someone who deals with such an yanim, who understands medical information, who is a top posek, perhaps a gadol, who can guide us appropriately. Because if we do not, then the infraction, we're so worried sometimes about lashon hara. But on the other hand, sometimes we can mamish cause situations of Osamur al damri echa sam pashiro. Yes.
So it's the person who is dating that has to say. No one else is obligated to say. Like if somebody calls you. And
it sounds like it's the family who has to make sure that the information has to be after the must emphasize any medical condition must be shared after the third date.
Right. So if I call a friend and the friend knows, they don't have to say.
Hopefully everybody consults with their competent person.
Yeah, because this is what's happened to me. I know somebody that had a mental issue, and they called me about her. So I called the Rav, and the Rav said she has to say.
Okay.
Right? And so I didn't say anything, and I felt really bad that I didn't say anything.
So it's exactly these issues that we're discussing.
And this person got married and then soon divorced after that. And I felt so bad till today, but I was following...
You feel a chraya.
Yes.
Very complicated. But you asked the Shaya.
I have something similar, and I said...
I'm going to turn this off.